on ABC local radio. You're with Rod Quinn, time to talk health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch from the University of Melbourne. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
Now, Gordon, one of the things we've often discussed is how people simply cannot find the time to exercise. And that's often used as the excuse why I don't exercise. So what's the latest on this then?
Well, I think it's a valid issue. I mean, it's easy for people who are in the exercise industry to say, oh, people make excuses. And in fact, people live very busy lives. And it is a legitimate concern if you're looking after families, if you've got work commitments, if you've got various issues that will interrupt things that you might want to do yourself. And exercise is something which is a very, you know, it's a personal commitment, and sometimes the nature of our lives means we're giving up our commitments to other people. That's just the fact. So this concept of finding time to exercise, I consider it to be a legitimate one. It's easier for some people to exercise than others, but if we could find an exercise where it didn't take that long, but what didn't involve this huge commitment of time, but could still produce a beneficial outcome for our health, we should explore it. And that's certainly the research over the last 10 years has been pushing this concept of more intense exercise for brief periods that could produce similar health benefits than longer, more traditional training. And what we're talking about is this sprint interval training or high intensity interval training. And I know, Rod, that you've had personal experience with
Unbelievable, but yes, I have.
And that's why another reason why I thought there's some research that's just been published. And I thought, well, I'm gonna get Rod's view on this because he's experienced it, and I'd like to get his view too.
Well, thank you very much, Gordon. Okay, so the thing I took part in, the process I took part in, was comparing two different types, and that is high-intensity training for about a minute or so after you've rested for about 3 or 4 minutes, and another one where you kept cycling and then had high-intensity for, you know, 30 seconds or something. And then gradually the time that you were cycling kept increasing and the time that you were really pedaling very, very fast increased as well. So I think at the end of that study, they found that there was no difference between those two, that really the benefit was either one that you did, which I think they might have thought about at the start. So whether or not you rested, then had a high intensity minute or whatever, or you consistently pedaled and then had a high intensity 30 seconds or so, I don't think they found any difference.
Okay, and look, in terms of the basis of that particular study that you were involved in and so on, it all originates from the studies that I'm going to talk about this morning, and that's the person that really has championed this over the last decade is a fellow named Professor Martin Gabala from McMaster University in Ontario, Canada, and I disclose that I know Marty very well, and he's a friend of mine, and he has pushed this concept of high-intensity interval training, or, you know, high-intensity sprints, sprint bouts of, say, 30 seconds or so, with sort of low-intensity cycling in between, and interspersing these low-intensity bouts with these very all-out high-intensity exercises.
That's basically what I was part of, yeah.
Okay, and so he's been pushing this, and what, you know, the message that's been coming back over time is that, yeah, there's benefits with this high-intensity sprint exercise, but can we compress it? What's the bare minimum that we can do that's still going to produce a benefit? And so what they've done in this particular research, it's just been gone online, I think April 26th, it's been viewed already 50,000 times, which gives you an indication of how popular this form of exercise physiology type research is. What they've actually done, they took a total of 27 men who were sedentary, and so they would have been university recruits, and they did 3 weekly sessions of either intense or moderate training for 12 weeks. And they
compared that. This is exactly what I did.
Okay, a control group that didn't do any exercise. Yeah. The difference, I think, between what you did and this is that this group from McMaster, they did 3 20-second all-out sprint bouts on an exercise cycle. So it totals at one minute of exercise in total. So the total workout when you're doing these sprint bouts so they did a 2 minute warm up. They did these 3 20-second sprint bouts interspersed with the low intensity exercise with a 3 minute cool down. So it's a total of exercise of just 10 minutes per session.
Right. Okay. I was somewhere between 30 minutes up to about 50 minutes. It gradually increased over the 12 weeks.
Right. And then they compared that sort of sprint interval training with a group that did 45 minutes of continuous cycling at a moderate pace with basically the same work, warm up and cool down. Now, after 12 weeks of training, the results were remarkably similar, even though that protocol with the less intense exercise was five times as much exercise and involved a fivefold greater time commitment.
Okay.
So the idea of this, this 1 minute of exercise producing a health benefit equal to, something that you have to do and invest, time and so on, is a real incentive. And what they looked at aspects of cardiorespiratory fitness, so a measure of oxygen uptake, and they also did some biochemical assays on some samples looking at mitochondrial activity for certain enzymes and so on. And what they showed was that the benefits were exactly the same with what the 1 minute of very high intensity exercise with the low intensity, 45 minutes of continuous cycling type exercise. So I think trying to compress it into the least for the most, if you think about 1 minute of exercise, that's a really impressive feat. Mm-hmm. And so I think more and more this concept of saying, well, I haven't got time to exercise, if you're able to do this sort of exercise, then it may be a very time-efficient way of maintaining or getting to a level of fitness for, in terms of bang for your buck, there's certainly a way to go.
Gordon Lynch, our guest, talking health and fitness this morning in this extraordinary breakthrough that maybe you only need to exercise for 1 minute a day, three times a week. Now, that's not exactly what you've been telling us over the years. You've been telling us maybe 30 to 60 minutes a day, five times a week of moderate to high exercise, not just ambling along, but if you're doing a workout, do it for 30 minutes to an hour. If you're going for a walk, make sure you're sweating and you're working up a sweat. That's important. Now, with this research, though, you're saying, and they are saying, that the short burst exercise did just as good for you as the longer term exercise, maybe over an hour. So what are they saying? You get on the bike for a minute at absolute high intensity, and that's it. Is that what you're saying? Is that what they're saying?
They're advocating that this is certainly a way for an efficient way of exercising for a health benefit. Now, you've said that I've been saying a different message, and that's true, but I don't necessarily think I'm going to change the way I'm going to advocate we approach our health and fitness. Because, first of all, is this form of training for everybody? Now, it's a very high intense exercise. When we talk about all out, I mean you're going all out for that for that 20 seconds. Not everybody can achieve that type of exercise or perform at that level. So I think we've got to put a reality check in here. And I think, yes, there are fascinating sorts of results with these sorts of exercises. But this sort of training, it's very demanding, particularly for those who are unaccustomed to exercise. So if you're getting back to exercise for the first time, it's the last thing I'd be suggesting you do, because you might never exercise again. And that's the last thing that I'd want you to do. Now, if you're pushing at that, at that limit, at that maximum abilities, perhaps it's not going to be undertaken by elderly folks or those with injuries or those with conditions like high blood pressure or heart disease. So I think, when I always talk about making sure you have a medical check before you start exercising, especially if you've had a long layoff and so on, then I think you should be explaining to your doctor what sort of exercise that you're thinking of doing, because high-intensity sprint exercises like this, yes, they've got some tremendous outcomes for those that are able to do it, but even the authors acknowledge that it may not be for everybody, because not everybody can perform at this particular level. There are some pros. It's an excitement level. The challenge of high-intensity exercise, it may appeal to some more than others. You might go through and think, oh, gee, another boring session on the treadmill, and I haven't got time to waste. Okay, let's do a minute of exercise and get a benefit. That's desirable for many people. If you're short on time, and that's one of the excuses that we hear, and that's a legitimate one, then this is certainly an avenue to explore where you can certainly get bang for your buck. And I think that's a real incentive for many people that are time strapped, that they can do a form of exercise that's still going to give them a pretty decent health benefit with not much of a time commitment that they have to put into it. So I think that's pretty good. But I think because of the demands of high intensity training, if you're getting back into exercise for the first time, I'd say develop a level of fitness, a base level of fitness, before you start to consider this sort of sprint type of training, because you're really pushing to that limit. The risk level goes up, so you need to get all approvals from your medical specialist, your doctor, whatever, to say that this is an exercise that's suitable for you. And it's not something you might want to do every day, and you're working at that high intensity. You've got to give your body a chance to recover and recuperate and so on. And look, if it's any exercise is going to be beneficial if you're doing it on a regular basis. If you're put off by that sort of exercise, it's not something you're going to stick with. And I think we've got to choose activities that we like. The reason I think this is a good exercise is that you can put it in the context of throughout the year, you may, say, do a segment of this sprint interval training for a month or two, or intersperse it with less intense forms of exercise. And the other aspects that I think it's important, and why I don't necessarily change the message that I always advocate, is that there are many other aspects of fitness, Rod, that we need to pay attention to that we talk about on this program. In particular, muscle strength, muscle endurance, flexibility, balance, all those different types of important aspects of fitness that aren't going to be necessarily covered by this form of training. So we need to mix it up. We need to focus on our muscle health by performing muscle-specific strength-based exercises. This is very good for other forms of health benefits and fitness benefits and cardiometabolic health. That's going to be, I'm all on board for this. But we need to pay attention to the fact that it's not going to cover all the bases, and we need to be sensible about which exercises we choose. It's not going to be for everybody, but for those that can do it, especially those that are time strapped, it could be a legitimate option where you're going to get a benefit.
I will point out I was on a stationary bike, not a treadmill, but there are various aspects of this that should be studied, and maybe this is what you want. But I'm guessing if somebody has maybe a treadmill or a stationary bike, exercise bike at home, they're going to be doing a bit more exercise than just a minute a day. And if you go down to the gym to do this kind of a workout, you want to spend more time there. You're not just going to be doing a minute and think, well, that's it. That's as good as working out for an hour.
Yeah, and certainly this was also on a stationary bike, this particular study. But I also need to point out the type, when they do these sorts of studies, it is 20 seconds. And when I say all out, it's absolutely all out, with people shouting and screaming, making sure that you're working at your maximum intensity. That's how they can make the appropriate comparisons between the different types of exercise interventions. And it's not something that you may be advocating at your local gym, where people are shouting and screaming for 20 seconds while you're on the stationary bike. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration as well. It requires a very high level of motivation. Not everybody, I'm trying to appeal to everybody in terms of their exercise choices, making sure that we can go from something to nothing, developing a level of base fitness which we can improve on, and start getting benefits for our health. You need to be highly motivated to perform exercise at this intensity. For some, it's going to appeal. For some, it won't. And therefore, we've got other things to consider in terms of our choices.
All righty. Gordon, it is good to know, though, if you really want to exercise at a high level and you don't have a lot of time to do that, then there is an option here. Anyway, it's something that you want to look into. Gordon, thanks very much. Talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.